brothers and sisters. Last week in my homily, I mentioned that with the exception of Palm Sunday, each of the Sundays of Lent speaks to us about one of the Old Testament covenants. These covenants are important for us because they help us to understand our history as God's people. They remind us who we are, from where we have come, and they point us where we are going. So it's important that we understand these covenants. Last week we heard about the covenant that God made with Noah. This week we hear of the covenant with Abraham. Abraham, of course, is an important biblical figure. Three of the world's major religions trace their roots back to Abraham. Those religions would be Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, for those who weren't sure. Today we hear of the story where God tested Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Now, Isaac, you may recall, was the heir to the covenant that God made with Abraham. God promised to bless Abraham with land and with countless descendants. Abraham originally, when this covenant was first made, thought that it would be impossible for God to fulfill this promise through he and his wife Sarah, as he was in his 90s and she was in her 80s. So consequently, he had a son with his wife's servant, whom he named Ishmael. And many of the Muslims trace their lineage back to Abraham through Ishmael. But, as God revealed, Ishmael was not to be the heir. The heir was to be a son who was born of Abraham and his wife Sarah. And that son was Isaac. So Isaac's birth was quite literally miraculous. After all, it's not often that you hear of a 90-year-old man and an 80-year-old woman having a child. I guess unless maybe you read the National Enquirer too much or something like that. So undoubtedly, this child was special. In addition, he was the heir to the covenant with God. So if Abraham was to have any descendants, it would have to be through Isaac, as chances of he and Sarah pulling off another miraculous birth probably weren't too favorable. Thus, Abraham knew that if God was to fulfill his covenant and to establish a tribal nation for himself, it would be through Isaac. So now, with this in mind, let's explore that first reading where God speaks to Abraham once again. And this time, God doesn't offer Abraham a blessing, but instead he asks something of Abraham, something that was much more difficult than the circumcision that he asked for the first time. He asked Abraham to sacrifice this miracle child, his beloved son, Isaac. Now, when we hear this story, we may be tempted to think that God is cruel or that he's playing games with Abraham. Let me suggest that that's a rather pithy and shallow reading of this passage. A better interpretation is that God is now establishing a new relationship through this covenant. That's the whole point of a covenant, is to establish a new relationship. And what he's doing is he's showing Abraham what is demanded of anyone who wishes to be part of this new people, this tribe that God is establishing. Namely, they must be willing to give everything to God. They can hold nothing back, not even their most beloved son. Friends, while this story may seem somewhat crude to us, what we learn is that when it comes to God, we need to be completely devoted to him. Being a member of God's people, of his tribe, is an all or none proposition. We can't be half-hearted. We need to be willing to give everything to God, including that which we hold most dear. Abraham was willing to give God everything. He was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, if that's what the Lord wanted. And he did this not because he had a bad relationship with Isaac or for lack of love of Isaac. He did this because it was what the Lord wanted. He knew that it was more important for him to place his trust in God. And that becomes the theme for this second week of Advent. Trust in God. It sounds easy, but it often proves to be very difficult. At our Thursday scripture group at St. Margaret Mary, many of the people who were there stated that they didn't think that they would be able to do what Abraham did. And I think all of us, probably, if we're honest with ourselves, would have to say the same thing. We probably couldn't do what Abraham did. The fact is, there are areas of our lives where we don't trust God, where we're withholding something from Him, where we don't trust that He will provide us with the means necessary. You know, we do this, for example, in times when perhaps we may say, I don't trust that God is going to give me the means to provide for my children. And so what happens is we adopt a contraceptive mentality. Or perhaps we say, I don't believe that He'll provide me with the means to provide for myself in the future. And so we hoard possessions for ourselves. We don't trust that He will bestow blessings upon us. And so what happens is that we seek happiness in these material things. We seek security in material things. And in doing so, we become a hindrance, a stumbling block. We prevent God from bestowing more blessings upon us because we're afraid to trust in Him. Now, trust, of course, is not perfected overnight. We even see this in the case of Abraham. Abraham's first reaction to God when God told him that he and Sarah were going to have a child was to laugh at God. But eventually, Abraham learned to trust in God. And his trust was perfected over time to the point where he could sacrifice his only son if that's what God wanted. Friends, it's important for us to learn to trust in God's will. For as we heard in that second reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? St. Paul knew that as long as he followed God's will, nothing could work against him in the end. You know, sure, he would face difficulties and challenges and persecutions, but ultimately, he knew that God always willed what is good for him. That's what it means to be loved, to will what is good for the other. God wills what is good for us. And if we bank on that, then there's no reason for us to doubt God. There's no reason for us to question whether or not He will provide for us. See, Abraham understood this. And while he loved his son Isaac, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac to God. Why? Because he trusted. He trusted that God willed what was good for both himself and for Isaac. And because he trusted, God was able to provide Abraham with the blessing that He promised to him. He was able to establish a people that became a tribal nation with countless descendants and plenty of land. In the gospel, we see the same theme of trust emphasized. In the story of the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appear. They're symbolic of the law and the prophets in whom the Jewish people placed their trust. And we hear this voice. This voice says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." The voice was instructing the disciples to listen to Jesus. That is to say, to trust Jesus. This command to listen, to trust, was given to Peter, to James, and to John for a reason. They were about to enter the most trying times of their lives. They were going to witness the passion and the death of our Lord. And before witnessing this, God allowed them to experience this special moment to strengthen their faith. He wanted to remind them that no matter what trials they faced, no matter how bleak things may seem, they needed to trust in God. And this trust was especially important for them during the passion and death of Christ. Friends, the same is true for us. We need to place our trust in God. Even when things seem bleak, as they certainly did for the apostles during Christ's passion, and even when we can make no sense of what God is doing or what he's asking of us, as must have been the case for Abraham when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, we need to trust in God. For as long as God is with us, nothing that works against us is of any consequence. And therefore, the second week of Lent, we're called to trust in God. I encourage you to make that the theme of your week. Ask God to strengthen you in your trust of him. Ask him each day to allow you to rely more and more upon him and less upon yourself, so that one day, like Abraham, you'll have a trust that's so great that you can hand over anything and everything to God, including that which you value most. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who place their trust in God.